All right, we are holding on test number bays at the bottom by the beginning of the new parak. Okay, so we've learned about collecting the master shekel, and we've learned about how they took the baskets of coins out of the chamber, out of the lishka, and how they filled up boxes with them. Now we're going to talk about, in this parak, what they actually did with that money. So the Mishnah says, "Hatruma mahayu oisinba." What did they do with the truma, the actual truma salishka? Loichinba tmidun musafin v'niskehem. They would use it to buy the korbanos tamid and the korbanos musaf and all the nesachim that go along with them. Also ha'omer shteilechem. Also the omer and the shteilechem, the lachem aponim and the lachem aponim. All of those are bought from truma salishka because all of those are korbanos tibur, and the whole point is the korbanos tibur are being brought from the machzor shekel. V'chol korbanos tzibur and all the other korbanos tzibur, which the korban eder brings from a brings that means include that includes the k'turis. The k'turis is also bought from the truma salishka. Next, another thing. People who guard svichim, which is after growths, during Shemitah. Now, we know that during Shemitah, of course, you can't plant. But the fact is, during that year, they still need to be able to bring a korban omer and a shtei lechem. So they can't plant wheat or barley for that purpose. What they need to do is they need to rely on that there are svichim, that there is like this with plants like that, with grain and other plants like that. Always you have ones where some seeds landed in the ground last year during the harvest or whatever, and then they sprout the seed on their own. Those are called svichim. So now, midoraisa, you're completely allowed to eat them. Midrabanan, there are rules about it. We'll discuss that a little bit in the Gemara. Anyway, the point is that they have to rely on those svichim, otherwise they don't have anything for the omer and the shtei lechem. So they'd hire people to guard these svichim and tell people that, and tell people stay away from it. This is reserved for the omer. This is reserved for the shtei lechem. There are actually rishonim who learn that if you guard grain or vegetables, then they become also to eat. And there are actually, we're going to see in the Gemara, the possibility that maybe even in that particular year of Shemitah, the Omer and the Shtei Lechem would therefore be also to eat. You still have to be makriv them, but a different understanding of it is that the Shemitah over here is not mostly somewhat guarding them, like physically preventing people from taking them, but rather more like moral suasion, telling them, you know, I know you'd really like this. I know you'd really like this because it's during Shemitah and there's a shortage of grain, but you should be aware that we need this for the Omer and we need this for the Shtei Lechem, and that'll make people stay away. So that wouldn't be the kind of Shemitah that's awesome. Anyway, so these people, they also get paid out of the Truma Salishka. Because again, that's something that's needed for the korbanos, and therefore that would be something they'd do out of the truma salishka. Rabbi Yossi says they don't have to pay them out of the truma salishka. Rabbi Yossi says no, actually you don't need that. If a person voluntarily wants to watch that grain himself to tell people this is needed for the omer, this is needed for the shtei lechem, and not get paid, then he could do that. So not necessarily do we need truma salishka for it. Omru loy, so the chachamim answered him, after omer, you also agree after all, she'enen boin ela mishal tzibur, that the omer and the shtei lechem have to come from things that belong to the tzibur. Now, the problem is, if you're going to have an individual is going to watch it on his own and not get paid from the truma salishka, then in a certain sense, that grain might belong to him. And if it belongs to him, then how can we use it for the korbanos tzibur? You always have a problem as we're going to talk about in the Gemara, when an individual person brings something for a korban, you have to have yimsirenu l'tzibur yofa yofa, that he gives it over very, very well. In other words, 100% with no swings attached to the tzibur. Can we necessarily rely on that? There is a Gemara in the Bavli at the very end of Bava Metzia that discusses our Mishnah and discusses the Gemara discusses over there a question. If you see an object of Hefker and you want it, and you decide you want to be koneh, is looking at it enough to be koneh? Because on the face of it, that's what this shomer is doing over here. You have to ask, the Chachamim are saying, in effect, that this wheat or this barley might be considered to belong to the shomer, and therefore that there'd be a problem with it as being used for the korban sibur. That implies that he was koneh it somehow. But how is he koneh it if he didn't pick it up? He didn't do akbar, he didn't do meshicha, he didn't do any of the other methods of kinyan. So the Gemara discusses the possibility over there. Would we say that maybe the fact that he looked at it and it being hefker is enough for him to be koneh? And then the Gemara there says that no, that actually the Gemara gives a couple of reasons, a couple of other reasons why Rabbi Yossi and the Chachamim are disagreeing. One of them is that one of them the Rav Avon brings over here is that we're concerned about tough guys, about strong people who might force their way and take it, and therefore the Tanakama holds that we have to pay this watchman not so much so that the grain won't be his, but so that this way, once people know that he's being paid by Hekdesh, then they're more likely to stay away. Even the Balei Zroyas respect Hekdesh. We had this concept in Psachim, for example. We had an example over there where we had people who were Makdesh trees, and then there were Balei Zroyas, there were these tough guys who wanted to use branches from the trees, and then once they were makdish them, then they stayed away. People in general respect hekdish, and they're not going to tamper with it. So the Chachamim would say you need to do that, and Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi is not concerned about that. So the Gemara is mostly going to be so the first part of the Gemara then is going to be discussing this last point about Rabbi Yossi versus the Chachamim, about this idea of whether an individual person can bring something for Korban Sibur. We're saying that according to Rabbi Yossi, yes, according to Rabbi Yossi, the person who's watching the grain can do it for free. He is koneh, for example, again, according to that Gemara in Bava Metzia, one possibility is he's koneh b'habata, by looking at it. Or if we say he's not koneh b'habata because that doesn't work, then we say that the Chachamim would say that just like over there, we need to pay him the same way in other ways. We always need to make sure that the korban sibur is something that's actually brought from funds of the sibur rather than from private people. And Rabbi Yossi would disagree. So now the Gemara is going to talk about that point about korbanos yochid versus korbanos yochid that are given over to the sibur in other places. So the Gemara starts off. So by background, we have the concept of korban etzim. We have the Mishnah tells us in Tainus that there were 9 different days a year when they would bring a korban of wood to the Beis Hamikdash. So what it is, it started at the beginning of the second Beis Hamikdash when they came to build the second Beis Hamikdash and set up all the avodah of it. They had a shortage of a lot of things. One of the things is there was a shortage of wood. So different families at that time volunteered to provide wood for the Beis Hamikdash. So then the Chachamim at that time made a Chachamim and the Nevi'im, as we're going to say soon, made a takana that from then on those families every year get to celebrate those days and get to bring a korban to the Beis Hamikdash on those days. Now that's an example of a yochid giving for the tzibur. Now you could argue, okay, in that first year, It was a necessity. There was no other choice. You had to have Yechidim give, because otherwise there's no wood, and therefore there's no korbanos tibur at all. But we're going to discuss in the Gemara, what about, are they doing that in future years as well? So the Gemara says, Ma roz man atzeh koinim va'am lehimanis. Why are we enumerating, why are we listing the times of zman atzeh koinim va'am, the times when the koinim and the various other members of the Jewish people would be bringing the wood to the Beis Hamikdash? So the Mishnah there in Tainus mentions that every day in the Beis Hamikdash, every day you had ma'amodos. You had there were groups of koyanim that served on a rotating basis in the Beis Hamikdash, the mishmaros. You also had mishmaros of levim, same idea. And then among the Yisraelim, you had ma'amodos, where there were rotating groups of them also. Some of them would stand in the Beis Hamikdash and watch the korbanos being brought, and they would be the representatives of the whole Jewish people for that. Others of them would just gather in their shuls, and they would say certain tefillos and lay in certain things from the Torah, etc. even the ones who went to the Beis Mikdash also, after they were done watching the Talmud, they would go to their shuls in the Har HaBayis, or in the rest of Yerushalayim, and do the same thing. But the Mishnah mentions over there, there are different times when we don't have Ma'amadis because there's something else that preempts it. One of them is when there's Zman Atzeh Koinem Va'am, then that preempts one of the Ma'amadis of the day, because they're busy with that. So what are these Zman Atzeh Koinem Va'am? Ella, so it is like this. B'shasha Ola Yisrael Min Agoila, when the Jewish people came up from Golos Bavel, V'loi Matzu Eitzim B'lishka, they couldn't find wood in the Lishka, in the chamber of the Beis Mikdash, but Omdu Eilev and Isnadvu Eitzim Mishal Atzman, these families that are listed over there, arose and volunteered to give wood from the fly. They gave that wood over to the tzibur. The kogamahen korbanas tzibur. They used them to offer the korbanas tzibur. So then the hisnimon neviim shebeneim. So now the neviim among them made a tnai shafilu lishka malaya etzim, that even in the future, even if the lishka, even if the chamber of the Beis Mikdash where they kept the wood, one of the four chambers on the corners of the Ezes Nashim over there, even if that chamber is full of wood, but omdu elavi nisnadvu etzim mishalatzman, if these families now go and are menad of wood on their own, that we only use their wood first to bring the korbanos. They have that privilege because their ancestors are the ones who brought it that first time. So now here we have an example of yechidim bringing wood for a korban, bringing wood for to offer the korbanos. And even though now the wood for the korbanos is something that needs to come mishal tzibur, it's one of the things when we mentioned in the Mishnah, we said that the tmidim and musafim and so on and so forth come from the korbanos tzibur. It also includes all of the machshirim, all of the prerequisites that are needed to offer them. For example, the wood for the korbanos. For example, the salt that's needed to sprinkle on the korbanos. Other such things. So it comes out that here you have Yechidim giving to the tzibur. So Amar Rav Acha did Rav Yosi. So Rav Acha says now this Braisa must be according to Rav Yosi. Did Rav Yosi Omer Afarotzim Esnad of Shem Echinah? We say in our Mishnah that Rav Yosi says that an individual is able to volunteer to be a Shem Echinah of the grain of the Sfichim that they're going to use later that year for the Omer and Ashtei Alechem. So he's not concerned about this matter of that you're going to have a korban that belonged to a yochid and then was given to the tzibur, because he holds that the person will definitely give it over fully to the tzibur. In the same vein, he's saying over here that when it comes to this korban etzim, the same idea, you have these families that are giving this korban etzim, and there's not a problem with it. There's not a problem with it because they will give it over. They will give it over yofa yofa. So therefore, that braisa must be going according to Rabbi Yosi. Now, what would the Chachamim do with it? The fact is, there was actually a pasuk in Nehemia that mentions that we made a girdle about the korban etzim. The Chachamim might understand that was a one-time thing, not necessarily that they made it as an annual thing. Or that the Chachamim might say, yes, these families had the right to celebrate those days, but on that day they celebrated, they didn't actually bring wood to the Beis Mikdash necessarily, or they could. I mean, they could bring wood, but the wood itself would be considered kind of a korban. What it was is, the main thing was that they would bring other korbanos. So the fact that we're saying that it's an annual thing, that each of these families on their day, and that we're saying that each one of them, that the wood they bring is actually used for burning the korbanos on the mizbeach, that says Rav Acha has to be according to Rav Yosi. On the other hand, Rav Yosi or Asi, v'shem Rav Ila, Rav Yosi the Amora or Rav Asi says in the name of Rav Ila, no, divrei hakol he. No, because that braisa about Zman Atzeh Koinem Va'am, about the korban ha'etzim every year, that could be a point to everybody. Even the Chachamim might agree with it. Because Ma'pligin Begufer Shokorban. Because we could say the Chachamim and Rabbi Yosi are arguing only about the actual korban itself, the actual Omer, the actual Shtei Lechem. The Chachamim say you can't ever have that it was owned by a Yoch, not ever. But ever since that you can't have that before it's given to Hekdesh that it belonged to a Yochid, and then the Yochid donated it to Hekdesh, because then we're concerned that he might not donate it fully. He might still have some strings attached. He might want that he has a certain person. He might want to have that he has a certain individual share in this korban more than anybody else in order to have the mitzvah or whatever it is. So therefore, we can't allow that. So the Chum would say, as far as the korban itself, aval the machshire korban, when it comes to things that are prerequisites of the korban, like in this case, we're talking about the wood, which is not itself a korban. Kol ama moedi shomashdana korban yacham, the korban sibur. Everybody might agree. Kol ama in the Yerushalmi is like kol. It's kind of funny. Kol alma is the expression we always use in the Bavli. Literally, kol alma means the whole world. Here instead, we have kol ama in the Yerushalmi, which means all the people. Anyway, we could say kol ama moedi. Everybody agrees. Shomashana korban yachal the korban sibur. That when it comes to machshirei korban, when it comes to the wood, which is not itself the korban, it's not the talmid, it's not the mosef, it's the. It's only something that's in order to bruise. Possibly, everybody would agree, even the Chachamim of our Mishnah, that it could belong to a Yachid who then gives it to the Tzibur. So even according to the Chachamim, you could have an annual Korban Eitzim, and the families are bringing wood to the Bais HaMikdash, and we're using it to burn the Korbanos, because the wood is not itself the Korban, it's only the Machshirei Korban. Okay. So another similar thing, Tanun and Abraisa, if a woman who is the mother of a kohen makes a ksonas for her son, or she has to give it over to the tzibur or ksheira, then that ksonas is kosher. The kohen can wear it during the avodah, or vilvad, she can sit on the tzibur, as long as, again, she has to give over that ksonas completely to the tzibur. Because again, the godim of the kohenim are considered something essential. There's something essential to the korban. If the kohen does the avoda without the bigdei kohuna, then his avoda is possible. So in the same vein, then we're saying that it's fine to give it. It's fine for a yochid to make the ksonis, but then we have to be careful that they give it completely over to the tzibur. You have the same. Omer Acha says that again, that Braisa would have to be only according to Rabbi Yossi. The Rabbi Yossi Amafar writes Misnad of Shemachinam. Rabbi Yossi again says in our Mishnah that also a person can volunteer to be a Shemachinam for the grain, for the Svich in that group. Again, the Chachamim might disagree, the same way as the Chachamim are saying that no, Hekdesh has to actually buy these Svichim. In the case, they have to actually pay the worker to, they have to pay the guy to stand there and watch it, and that way it belongs to Hekdesh to begin with. The same way, they might say that a Ksonis cannot be made from private funds, it has to be made for funds of the tzibur to begin with. So a woman can't make a Ksonis on her own and then give it to her son to wear in the Bais HaMikdash. So as Rabbi Acha says, that would be the same machlokes. But again, Rabbi Yosi or Asi, the same Rabbi Ila, divrei hakohi. Rabbi Yosi or Rabbi Asi again says in the name of Rabbi Ila that no, everybody would agree that a person can make a private ksonis and give it to the kohen, because again, ma pligin begufo shel korban, because the machlokes we could say is only about the actual korban itself, ava machshire korban, but when it comes to the big kohuna, which are only a prerequisite for a korban, kol ama modish umishtana korban yachid, the korban sibur, then everybody might agree that a korban yachid can become a korban sibur. Okay. So according to Rav Acha, anytime we find in a braisa that says something about a yochid giving something towards korban sibur, Rabbi Yosi would hold. Whereas Rabbi Yosi, the Amora, holds that even the Chachamim wouldn't have a problem with that if it's machshirei korban. They would just have a problem if it's the korban itself. For example, the Omer of the Shtela.
So Alexander, we don't hear you continuously. There's words that are skipped all the time. So probably you need to speak more slowly, and I'm not sure exactly why.
It has to do with the amount, how strong his reception is.
Yeah, it probably has to do with that. Let me switch here. Okay, let me see. Is this better now?
I don't know. There's a stream, and sometimes we miss the middle of the stream or.
Right, I understand, but now I just turned off my Wi-Fi, so now I'm using. So let me know if it's better now.
Okay.
Okay, good. Okay. Okay, so to recap then, we're saying that the Rabbi Yossi in our Mishnah is saying that a Yochid can watch the Sfichim and then give them over to the Tzibur when the time comes. He says that if a person is going to do that, we know he's going to give it over Yofa. He's going to give it over fully, so we don't have to worry about that. Whereas Rabbi Acha So that was the Chachamim disagree. So in the Gemara, we're saying that Rav Acha is saying, therefore, that any time we find something that implies that any time where we find that Yechidim are giving something towards the Korbanos Tzibur, for example, the wood that's used to burn the Korbanos, or Ksonos that a Kohen would wear, then we're saying that if we're saying that a Yochid can give it, only Rav Yossi, the Tana, would hold that. The Chachamim would disagree. Whereas Rav Yossi, the Amora, says that no, everybody would agree, because the Chachamim would distinguish between the korban itself and machshirei korban. They wouldn't allow the korban itself to be brought from something that belonged to a yochid, which then he gave to the tzibur, because we're concerned he might not give it over fully. But machshirim, such as the wood or the bigdei kohanah, they have no problem with. Okay. So the Gemara says, masnisin pliga al Rabbi Yossi. Now, our Mishnah seems to contradict Rabbi Yossi. Which Rabbi Yossi do we mean, the Tana or the Amora? So let's talk about, there are actually different Girsois over here. The Girsa that we have in front of us, Masnisi Pligal Rabbi Yossi, is a Girsa according to the Vilna Gaon and others, but actually, or the other way around, actually. The Girsa we have in front of us, Masnisi Pligal Rabbi Yossi, is the old Girsa. The Hagos HaGro actually changes it to Masnisi Pligal Rabbi Acha, that our Mishnah seems to contradict Rabbi Acha. So let's learn it and then we'll discuss the possibilities. So a Braisa, Masnisa, rather, Pligal Rabbi Yossi, a Braisa seems to contradict Rabbi Yossi, because a Braisa says, Oysen Ayomim Noigen, Vishas Korban, Vishaloi Vishas Korban, that those days, which we say that the various families celebrate the days that their ancestors brought wood to the Beis Hamikdash, those are still in effect whether the korban is being brought or whether not, meaning even after the Beis Hamikdash is destroyed, those families continue to celebrate that day. Rabbi Yossi says they only are in effect when the korban is being brought, meaning only during the time of the Beis Hamikdash. So what does this have to do with the discussion before? So a number of the Mefarshim, for example, Rabbeinu Meshulam, have the Girsa like we have in front of us in the Gemara, that the Gemara is saying it seems to contradict Rabbi Yossi, meaning Rabbi Yossi the Tana, meaning Rabbi Yossi the Amora. Rabbi Yossi the Amora is saying that the Chachamim would say that everybody would agree, the Chachamim and Rabbi Yossi of our Mishnah, that individuals can bring korban eitzim and other such things as long as they're not bringing the actual korban itself. The korban eitzim is only a side thing. But we see from this braisa that the Chachamim are saying that you celebrate the korban eitzim even when no actual korban is being brought, which means therefore, so according to the Chachamim, it would come out they're not really actually bringing wood to the Beis Hamikdash on those days. Because if they were, then there's no reason to celebrate it after the korban. It must be that they're only commemorating the day when their ancestors brought wood to the Beis Hamikdash hundreds of years ago. And in that case, then there's nothing in it about Yechidim bringing something towards a korban sivur, or even towards the machshirim of a korban sivur. And that would contradict Rabbi Yossi, the Amora's understanding that the Chachamim would allow such a thing. On the other hand, Hagos HaGro changes it to the question is on Rabbi Acha. And the question is, because Rabbi Acha is saying that only the Chachamim, that Rabbi Acha is saying that only the Tana Rabbi Yossi would allow the Yechidim to be bringing wood. The Chachamim would disagree. Whereas we see over here that they're in future years, they're celebrating the fact that they're bringing wood. And apparently the idea is they're doing that the Braisa is saying they're doing it whether they're bringing wood or not. But the implication is that when the Beis Hamikdash is standing, they actually did bring wood and it was used to bring in the Korbanos, and according to Rabbi Acha, only Rabbi Yossi would say, only Rabbi Yossi, the Tana, would say that that's allowed. So then according to Hagos HaGro, he changes it to that the question is on Rabbi Acha. V'oid min hod de Tanya. Also, we have another point that it continues. Actually, it's the same Braisa. It's the same Braisa. It continues. Omer of Allah, it's a Braisa in Megillas Titus. Omer of Allah, Zabrab Tzadik. Onu ha'yunu mipnei Sna ben Minyamin. We, my family, were descended from Sna, the son of Binyamin, which is one of those families that would bring the korban to Eitzim. And Vnei Sna ben Binyamin, the Mishnah lists over there the dates. Their date when they would bring wood to the Beis Hamikdash and when they would make the celebration of korban to Eitzim is on the 10th of Av. Now, Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadik lived after the korban. So he says, V'chal Tisha B'Av Lias B'Shamas, 1 year Tisha B'Av came on Shabbos, but Udachinu Oysel Metzoy Shabbos, so the fast was pushed off for Sunday, so therefore the fast that you came out on Yud Av, which was B'nai Snab and Minyamin's day to celebrate the Korban Eitzim, So that time we fasted the fast of Tisha B'Av, but we didn't complete it because it was their family Yom Tov. So again, we see, in other words, according to Rabbeinu Meshulam and the other early Mefarshim, the Gemara is saying, therefore, so we see that Rav Elazar Reb Tzadok is saying we celebrate even after the Churban, even though there's no wood being brought to the Beis Hamikdash at that time, obviously showing, therefore, that the original celebration was never about actual bringing wood. It was just to commemorate what they did in previous years. And therefore, how is Rabbi Yossi saying that everybody would agree that you could, that Yechidim could bring wood when we see on the face of it they're not actually doing that? According to the Gra, according to the Vilna Gaon, and according to Tikvah Chazitin, rather the question is on Rabbi Acha. That Rabbi Acha is saying the Chachamim would say that Yechidim can't bring wood to the Beis Mikdash, but we see from this Braisa that they did, because we're saying that they had it as their family celebration, meaning, in other words, that they were celebrating during the years when the Beis Mikdash stood, that they are actually bringing wood. Okay, so the bottom line is you have these different opinions on the subject, whether a Yochid can bring a Korban that is going to be a Korban Sibur and it's going to be accepted, or whether we have to have that the tzibur bought it from the yachid. So as far as the halacha, that Rambam paskins in the case of the sfichim, that yes, you have to have people watching them that are paid by the tzibur. You can't have you can't have, like Rabbi Yossi says, that an individual could do it. It has to be something that the tzibur bought or paid for with their money. When it comes to these other things, though, when it comes to the Eitzim, there is the Korban Eitzim, the families do bring the Korban Eitzim, that is the Takana. And when it comes to Aksonis, then yes, also an individual person can make Aksonis. We're saying that he will give it over Yofa, he will give it over fully to the Tzibur. Again, so why by the Svichim? Do we say differently? So that you have that Gemara in Bav Metzia that discusses other ideas behind other reasons than all Gemara is saying behind the machloekus of Rabbi Yossi and the Chachamim, one of them being that we want the Yechidim to be paid in order that Balei Zroyas, that tough people, don't try to take that those Sfichim for themselves. Once they hear that Hekdesh is involved and Hekdesh is actually paying this person, then they're more likely to stay away.
The Sfichim, they were collected in anywhere, or they had special areas where they collected them?
No, so, I mean, by definition, Sfichim just grow wherever they happen to grow, wherever seeds happen to fall the previous year. Earlier on in the season, during the winter, when barley is starting to grow and when wheat is starting to grow, Beis Din would go out and keep an eye out where is there a patch where enough Sfichim of barley or wheat, respectively, are growing. And then they would hire a shomer once it starts growing enough to be visible as grain, then they would hire a shomer to stand over there for the next couple of days or weeks or whatever it is and warn people off. And the main thing is he has to keep wild animals away from eating it, but also if people came by and wanted it, he would tell them, you know, I'm sorry, but this is reserved for the Beis Mikdash. So it's not necessarily one defined area, it's wherever they would find that Sfichim happened to be growing.
How long in advance did they look for these Sfichim?
I don't know. I guess they would probably start looking for them earlier on in the season when things are starting to grow. And then they might not necessarily hire a worker then, because at that point it's basically just grass. But later on, when it actually became noticeably standing grain, is presumably when they would hire the workers to keep people from taking it.
Would the Sfichim be kosher if they were irrigated?
Could be. I mean, in terms of the halachas of Shemitah, yes, you are allowed to a certain extent to irrigate a field that otherwise is going to dry out. However, there's a different issue, which is that we're not allowed to bring korbanos from, we have to bring korbanos always from the best quality, and grain from a field that was irrigated is not the best quality. So we still need it from a field that was watered by rainwater. Okay, so now we're going to discuss in the Gemara the question, so don't we have another alternative? Why do we say that the Omer Dafka has to come from Sfichim that grew in Eretz Yisrael? Why don't we say, for example, that we could bring it from, that instead we could bring it from Syria or bring it from Chutz Laretz? So the Gemara says, Masnisa de Rabbi Shmuel, our Mishnah must be like Rabbi Shmuel. So we said, Ha'omer Shtei Lechem B'lechem Apanim B'chok Amonis Tzibur. So Masnisa de Rabbi Shmuel, our Mishnah must be like Rabbi Shmuel. The Rabbi Shmuel, Ha'ena Omer B'omen Asuria. Rabbi Shmuel says that the Korban Omer cannot be brought even from Syria, let alone from Chutzpah. Syria are the areas we know that David HaMelech conquered, but he conquered them before he had finished conquering all of Eretz Yisrael proper. The Sanhedrin told him, Samach L'Paltin Shal Chalei Kavashta, you haven't even conquered parts of Eretz Yisrael that are near your own palace in Yerushalayim. So therefore, these places became what's called Kibush Yochid. It's that it was conquered by an individual without the consent of Beis Din and without the consent of the Sanhedrin, and therefore it's only considered sort of semi Eretz Yisrael. So Rabbi Shmuel is telling us that the Omer cannot be brought from Syria, because if it was, then there wouldn't be a problem. You wouldn't need Sfichim. You could just bring grain from Syria, and that would be good enough for the Omer. The fact that not shows that our Mishnah is like Rabbi Shmuel. So the Gemara says, so now let's explore that idea. Taman Tanenon, we learn in a Mishnah in Menachos, Kol Korbanos HaYochid VaTzibur Boim Min HaOretz Min Chutz La'aretz, all Korbanos Yochid and all Korbanos Tzibur can be brought from Eretz Yisrael, or Min Chutz La'aretz, or they can be brought from Chutz La'aretz. For example, you can buy animals from outside Eretz Yisrael and bring them as Korbanos. Min HaChadosh Min HaYoshan, they can be new or old, they can be animal, most of them can be animals that were born this year or animals that were born last year. Except for the Omer and the Shtei Lechem, She'en Boin, Elamon HaChodesh, Min HaOretz. Those Davka have to come from the new crop, and those Davka have to come from Eretz Yisrael. So again, Rav Chuna, B'Shem Rav Yemiah, Di Rav Shmuel. So again, Rav Chuna says in the name of Rav Yemiah that must be specifically according to Rav Shmuel. The Rav Shmuel, Omer, Eina Omer, Bamin HaSuria, because Rav Shmuel says that the Omer cannot be brought from Syria. Whereas there are other Tanoim who disagree with that and say that and say you could bring it from Syria. So according to so that Mishnah in Menachos, wouldn't be according to them. So actually there's Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda in Menachos over there says that grain from outside Eretz Yisrael is kosher for the Minchas Omer. The Shtei Lechem, he agrees, the Pasuk says that it has to be Mimoch Beisechem from Eretz Yisrael. But the Omer, Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda holds, could come from Chutz La'aretz and certainly from Syria, but Rabbi Shmuel disagrees. Similarly, Tamon Tanenon, we learn in a Mishnah in Kalim, Esther Kedusha Sein, there are 10 levels of Kedusha in the world, and the first one of them is Eretz Yisrael, Mekodesh is Mikol Arat. This Eretz Yisrael is holier than all other lands. Umahi Kedushasa, in what sense is it holier than other lands? So one of them is, Shemavin Menaha Oimu Rabbi Kodim Shtei Lachem, that the Omer and Bikurim and the Shtei Lechem can only be brought from Eretz Yisrael, Masha'en Mavin Ken Mikol Arat, which is not the case from other countries. So again, Rav Chiyo, Rav Chuna, B'Shem Rav Yemiya, Di Rabbi Shmuel, again, that Mishnah must also be specifically according to Rabbi Shmuel. Di Rabbi Shmuel, Amar Eina Omer Bamin Asuria. Rabbi Shmuel would say the Omer cannot be brought from Syria. So again, we have several Mishnayas and Brises that are like Rabbi Shmuel's Shitta and not like Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda's Shitta.
So according to Rabbi Shmuel, how would they do in a time of famine? And they had a lot of them.
So in a time of famine, they would have to find, they would still have to find. Even in a time of famine, some grain grows, there's just not very much. But again, the same way as we're saying that during Shemitah, they would have to find Sfichim, they'd have to find growths that are growing on their own and hire somebody to guard it. The same way during a year of famine, they'd have to do a similar thing.
Can't you say that the opinion of the Achamim is Lechatchila, not B'dieved?
The Gemara in Menachos over there talks about that this that we're saying that it has to be from Eretz Yisrael is only lachatchila, but b'dieved. The Gemara there in Menachos discusses that. That whether it has to be from Chodosh, the Gemara brings an opinion over there that B'dieved, you could bring it from old grain. So if necessary, in a year of famine, people do have some stored grain. So according to that opinion, you could bring it from that. And again, the Gemara doesn't mention about Lachatchila versus Bidiyevet, as far as them coming from Eretz Yisrael, you just have the opinion of Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda that it's kosher from Chutz Laaretz, and Rabbi Shmuel who says that it's not. So according to Rabbi Shmuel, what you would do in that case is there are Tanoim who would say that you could bring in that case from old grain. So Rabbi Shmuel would say, fine, it has to be grain that grew in Eretz Yisrael, but it can be from last year's stuff that was stored away. And according to the Tanoim who say that, even not, so fine, they would say there would inevitably be Sfichim, and they would have to bring from that. The Medrash that mentions actually that in the times of Gidon, in the Psukim and Sefer Shoftim tell us that in the times of Gidon there was a terrible problem where the Midianim every year were invading Eretz Yisrael and taking as much of the crops and stealing as much of the crops as possible, so that the people had very little, but nevertheless they still set aside from the little barley that they had for the Korban Omer, and that was the schus that eventually Hashem sent a Malach to tell Gidon that he should go and stay and raise an army and defeat Midian, that he actually defeated them on Pesach. You have at the end of the Haggadah in Nusach Ashkenaz Haggadah, they have a bunch of songs at the end of the Haggadah. One of them is about different nisim in Jewish history that happened on Pesach. One of them is how Gideon defeated the Midianim, and the Medrash says over there, Rashi brings it on the pasuk, that it was in the schus of the Korban Omer that they brought. So there you have an example where it wasn't a famine, it was an artificial famine, I guess you could say, because of the Midianim taking everything, but even so, the Jewish people made sure to have, from the little bit that they have, to reserve some for the Korban Omer. Okay. Continues the Gemara. Tamon Tanenon, we have another Mishnah in this regard. Rabbi Shmuel Omer Ma Chorish Rishus Af Kotzer Rishus. Now you have like this. The pasuk tells us that you have to rest on Shabbos, and it says Bechorish of Akotzer Tishvos. You have to rest from plowing and from harvesting. Now, what does that mean? You know, there are 39 malachos that are also on Shabbos. Those are only two of them. So why is it listing those two? So now you have opinions. The Gemara mentions in a couple of places in Shas an opinion of Rabbi Akiva that actually it has nothing to do with, it actually teaches us a din regarding Shemitah, that there's a period before Shemitah already when you're also to plow and plant in preparation for the new year. It's called Tosfos Shvius. But Rabbi Shmuel disagrees. And he says, what we learn from it is, Ma Chorish Rishus Af Kotzer Rishus. We learn from it like this. When the Pasuk is saying, on Shabbos, you're not allowed to plow and you're not allowed to plant, plowing is always something voluntary. There is never a time when there is a mitzvah to plow. Because, even for example, when it comes to bringing the Omer and the Shtei Lechem, there is a mitzvah to harvest grain specifically for that purpose. But there's no particular mitzvah to plow ground specifically for that purpose. If you find ground already plowed, then you're not accomplishing any mitzvah by plowing new ground for the Omer. As opposed to, even if you find grain that was already harvested, there is a mitzvah to harvest it for the Omer. So he says, the Pasuk is giving us a hekesh. Ma chodesh rishus af kotze rishus. Just like plowing is always voluntary, there's never a time when you have to plow if you already find a plowed field in order to be able to do the mitzvah of the Omer and the Shtei Lechem. Af Kotzer Rishus, the same way the harvesting that the Pasuk is telling us you can't do on Shabbos is also a Rishus. Yotzer Ktzir HaOmer Shul Mitzvah, therefore it's excluding the harvesting of the Omer, which is a mitzvah, and that you can do on Shabbos. So, the Gemara points out, Rabbi Shmuel Kedaite, Rabbi Shmuel then is going to his Svara that we just said, that the Omer cannot be brought from Suya. Those two things go together. Just like Rabbi Shmuel is saying that the Omer cannot be brought from Syria, it must be brought from Eretz Yisrael, and therefore that means that. So, just like he's saying that the harvesting of the Omer is Doicha Shabbos. Even though you could argue why. I mean, why should he be Doicha Shabbos? We know that Esse is Doicha Loisese. First of all, we know Esse is Doicha Loisese, but Shabbos is an Esse as well. But besides that, also. why should we need to anyway, when we're able to accomplish the Esther without violating a Lois Esther, we're supposed to do that. And here we could do that because we could take grain that was already previously harvested before Shabbos and use it to bring the Omer. The fact that Rabbi Shmuel says that you can't do that, the Ksiras HaOmer is Doicha Shabbos. From that we see, therefore, that he considers, so in the same way, he would say that the harvesting of it is overriding the Dinim of Shemitah, and therefore that you would harvest it during Shemitah in the normal way, even though usually you're not allowed to harvest in the normal way doing Shemitah, and therefore that would also require us to say that it fits with his opinion that you can't bring it from Syria. Otherwise, why are you being over on the Isser of harvesting in Eretz Yisrael during Shemitah, when instead you could just as well bring it from Syria and not be over on that? So we see therefore, the Mefarshim have different exact ways of explaining how the two things fit together. The Korban Eda says basically what we just said, that just like he's saying that you override Shemitah to bring the Korban Omer, the same way we say you override Shabbos to harvest it on, to harvest it on Shabbos. Another point is Rav Shlomo Cerulio says that it means that Rabbi Shmuel is saying that this that we said before, that it has to be brought from Eretz Yisrael, is not on the Lechatchila, it's even B'dieved, Eina Omer B'Misuya, the same way, even when it comes to harvesting on Shabbos, we don't say Lechatchila B'dieved, Lechatchila, if you have other grain, use it, and only B'dieved, if you don't have grain that was harvested before Shabbos, do you do it on Shabbos? No, he would say Lechatchila, you harvest it on Shabbos. Okay, so a couple of different explanations how these two things tie together. But anyway, the Gemara is saying, therefore, that Rabbi Shmuel is consistent with his Svara. Okay, so now that we talked about that, Man Tana Shemesh Svichas Beshvias Noitin Tzchon Metrumas Alishka. So now, which Tana would it be that says that we hire people to watch the Svichim on Shvias, and we use and we pay them from the Trumas Alishka, and that's what we bring the Omer from? So Rabbi Shmuel. So that would be specifically according to Rabbi Shmuel, because according to Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda, there'd be no reason for that. Just bring grain from Chutz La'aretz and use that for the Omer, because he holds that you're allowed to, or bring it from Syria. Amar Rabbi Yosi, but Rabbi Yosi says no. Divrei Hakolvi. No, our Mishnah would be according to Rabbi Shmuel and according to Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda. Because loy motza b'Syria mevia noisem mesfichin shabayot Yisrael. Because the fact is, what if they don't find grain in Syria? Then they do have to bring it from Sfichim in Eretz Yisrael. So even Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that you could bring it from Syria or from Chutz La'aretz, he would agree that lachatchila we should have people guarding the Sfichim in Eretz Yisrael in case we're not able to bring from Chutz La'aretz. In case we're not able to bring to find any from Syria or from Chutz La'aretz, then we want to be able to have that. We want to be able to have some in Eretz Yisrael. So even he might agree that you hire people to watch it. Okay, I mean, there is a point some of the Mefarshim make over here, that you can't, even Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda would agree that you can't bring it from Chutz La'aretz per se, because at least with the Omer, the grain has to be very, very fresh. And if you bring it from way out in Chutz La'aretz, it's going to be dry by the time it reaches Yerushalayim. So even if you're going to be bringing it from elsewhere, it has to be as close as possible to Yerushalayim. So Syria would meet that definition. Chutz La'aretz proper would not. But in any case, the reason is still, what if we don't find any grain in Syria that we could bring to Eretz Yisrael, that we could bring to Yerushalayim? Then we still need people to guard the Sfichim in Eretz Yisrael to make sure they have what to bring from. Okay. So the question now is, Hahein Omer Maushi Zora Betchila. Okay, so now we're saying that everybody agrees that you're allowed to use these Sfichim of Shvius for the Omer. You have in the Mishnah of Yosi saying that the Yochid could give it to the Tzibur. The Chacham say no, the Tzibur has to pay for it out of their funds, etc. But everybody is agreeing that you can use these Sfichim from Eretz Yisrael for the Omer. So now the question is, what if you don't have anything? What if you don't find any Sfichim? Or you're allowed to plant grain for that purpose during Shemitah. Now, normally, you're not allowed to plant during Shemitah, Sod Chol Sizra. But in this case, are you allowed to? So the Gemara continues. Rav Chiya bar Abba boi kumi Rav Mana. Rav Chiya bar Abba wondered, he was a Talmud of Rav Mana, so he asks his Rebbe, Rav Mana, what's the question anyway? Of course you can't. If you plant grain during Shemitah, then you're not allowed to eat it. So, according to many Rishonim, grain that was actually planted during Shemitah in violation of the rules of Shemitah is not allowed to be eaten. So Rav Chiya bar Ada wonders then, why are we even asking the question whether you could plant grain during Shemitah in order to use for the Omer and for the Shnei Lechem? Then it would come out you're not allowed to eat them. And then it comes out, Lo Nimtzik Komets Al Shirayim She'en Echolin. In effect, wouldn't it be like taking the Komets for Shirayim of a Mincha that cannot be eaten, where then the Mincha, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. If you have, for example, a mincha where most of it became tameh, you can't take out the koimetz and burn it on the mizbeach because the rest of the mincha is tameh and the koinim aren't going to be able to eat it, and therefore the koimetz isn't going to accomplish anything. Well, the same thing over here. If the grain is also to eat, then how are you going to be able to bring the omer and the shtei lechem from it? So of course the answer should be that you can't plant. Why are we even asking? So there are opinions of Rishonim that you are actually allowed to eat it, that it wouldn't actually be osur ba'achila. So they explain that what Rav Chiya bar Ada is saying is not really tied to the previous question about planting during Shemitah. That question, according to that explanation of Shlomo Seridio and the Chazon Ish learns similarly, that the question is not The Gemara had asked, can you plant grain during Shemitah for the Omer? And the Gemara just dropped the question and left it unresolved, according to that. Then Rav Chiya bar Ada is pointing out a new point. Given that we're saying that you're allowed to bring the Omer from Sfichim, now according to Rav Akiva, the Sfichim are also Ba'achila, so then in that case, how are you able to bring the Korban from them in the first place? Amalei, so the Mona answers, Nasa kachamisha dvorim shein boin betumah ve'ein necholim betumah. We treat the Omer and the Shtei Lechem, even according to that opinion, like we learned in a Mishnah in Psochim, there are five korbanos tzibur, which even if the people or the koyanim or whatever are tameh, we still bring those korbanos, they just can't be eaten betumah. We said the korban Pesach is a unique exception. You do eat it even if it was brought betumah, but most other korbanos tzibur, they may be brought. The korbanos tzibur that are being eaten, for example, the omer and the shtei lechem, they can be brought b'tumah because tumah d'choyer b'tzibur, tumah hutra b'tzibur, but nevertheless the koyanim don't eat them. So the same way over here, we would say that yes, if the grain for the omer is not able to be eaten because of the issur of shvius, then we would say whether because it was planted during Shemitah, or according to Rabbi Akiva that even Sfichim are also to eat during Shemitah, Midaraisa, whereas everybody else holds they're also only Dirabanan. So you still bring the Omer from them, you won't be able to eat the Omer, but fine, that's the same way as if it was brought to Tuma, where you have the same issue. You bring the Omer and you don't eat it. Okay. Next, the Gemara says, Ketzad hu oise. How do we do when we're saying we pay these workers who are guarding the Sfichim? Now the problem is that to take money of Hekdesh, we have to be Mechalal Mois of Hekdesh. When we have money of Hekdesh, to make it Chulin, it has to be made Chulin on a tangible object. Them watching this grain is not a tangible object. That's labor. You can't be Mechalal money of Hekdesh on labor. So Ketzad hu oise, how do you do it? What Hektish would do is as follows. They would borrow money from a money changer, the Noisim Lakotsim de la Shomanin. They would use that to pay the harvesters and the people who wash the grain. Actually, Yithra of Omer, and they would do that even before the Omer was brought, because you have to pay, the din is, the Torah tells us, you have to pay workers right away. So they would do that even before the Omer was brought. Or maybe Mois Maturma Salishka. Then they would bring money from the Trumas Halishka, or Mechal and Olav, and they would be Mechal all that money on the grain of the Omer. And that way, so now the money becomes Chulin, and the Omer becomes Hektish. So they're not actually paying the workers directly out of the Trumas Halishka, they're using the money to buy the actual tangible grain, which is fine, and what they're doing is they're paying the workers out of this money that they borrowed from the money changers, and then afterwards they're paying back the money changers with the money that was Trumas Halishka and now became Chulin, and now they can give it to the money changers to pay back the loan. So the Gemara asks, "Tovos kain, is that the right way to do things? I mean, after all, you have with the Korban HaOmer, the Mishnah tells us in Menachos, they would harvest 3 saw of grain, and then they'd sift it and sift it again and sift it again until they had 1 Omer, which is an Omer is one tenth of 3 saw that they would actually be makriv. And the rest of it, the rest of it, wouldn't go to waste. I mean, you could eat it, but it wouldn't be hektish. So how can we be mechal? The question is, how can we be mechal on money of hektish on 3 saw of grain when we're not going to be using all 3 saw for the korban omer? We're only going to be using 1 isar and 1/10 of that for the omer. So like this, on the face of it, we're paying the workers for the fact that they watched 3 saw of grain. But in the end, we're not using that whole 3 saw. So how does that work? How is that a proper way of being mechal al hekdesh? So Rabbi Yosi b'shem Rav Acha b'shem Rabba, kol ma sheyitin hein hein dam of mishar rishona. The answer is whatever you pay the workers, whatever you pay the people who guarded it, is according to the original time. Meaning, in other words, what we do is. Tikkun Chadatin explains that what it means is we say that whatever we pay them, you're right, we're actually only paying them to begin with the amount the value of the part that's going to become the actual Korban HaOmer. You're right, we're not actually paying them for the value of the 9/10 of it, which has not become the Korban HaOmer. So therefore, there's no problem with that. And then, and then some of the other mafoshim explain the other way around, that we say that whatever we pay them is considered the value of that 1/10. Yes, there is actually more that they watch, and we pay them for all of that, and we consider all of that money becomes in effect the value of that 1/10 of that isorin. And that becomes in other words, that one has a higher price, it has a higher price than others. Then there's a different explanation that some of the Rishonim have, that what Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Acha and Rabbi Bar are saying is, we don't need this whole rigmarole of borrowing money from the Shulchanim and paying the workers and then paying them back after we're Mechal the Omer. They hold that, no, you're able to be Mechal it on the work to begin with, because that's part of the Tnai of when it was made Hekdish. Okay. So the Gemara says, Tana, we learn in a Braisa. It is the same kind of thing as we're talking about how we pay the workers who are guarding and who are harvesting the Omer, the same thing as far as people who are working for the Bais Mikdash, carving and decorating stones for the building of the Bais Mikdash. Now, yeah, again, you have the same problem on the face of it, that you can't be mechalal money of hektish on labor, you have to be mechalal on a tangible thing. So, kaseroi, so how do you do it? Similar idea, noto mois mishulchani, we borrow money from a money changer, v'nosen l'chotzvin v'lasatosin, we give that money to the quarriers and to the ones who are shaping the stones and pay them that way. We do that even before the stone is placed on top of the row of stones in the building. Then after the stones are placed there on the row, then we take money from the Trumas Alishka or from the Shiori Alishka, actually there's a different girsa, and we pay them we machalal that on the stone, because now the stone is a tangible object, we can be machalal money of hektish on that, and then we take that money, which is now chulin, and give it to the money changers. There's actually an interesting point. Also, the Gemara points out in Me'ilah, Shmuel says over there in Me'ilah, that Beis Din does not want to buy the stones in advance and pay for them out of money from Hekdesh, because then there's the problem, a person might accidentally lean on the stone or sit on it or something, and then they'd be committing Me'ilah. So we want the stones to stay chulin as late as possible until they're actually built into the building. Okay, so again, the question is, the Gemara says, "Retovos kain, is that the right way to do things? Don't you have the problem that some stones inevitably get ruined on the way? And then how can we mechalal money of hektish on all of these stones in advance when some of them are going to, and we're borrowing money for that purpose in advance when we don't know that all of them are going to make it into the finished building? And the same answer, Rabbi Yossi, b'shem Rabbi Acha, Bei Rabbun, b'shem Shmuel, Kol Mashi Yitin, Hein En Domeh, Mashar Yishona, the same answer as before. Whatever they give is the original value, meaning according to Tiklan Chadatin, that we're saying that we are actually, in fact, only paying them for the good ones. We figure out afterwards how much were the bad ones, the spoiled ones, and we deduct that from it. According to some of the other Mephoshim, we're saying the other way around, that we pay them the full value and we consider that to be the value of these stones. And then the third explanation is that he's saying that, again, that we don't need this whole elaborate thing involving the Shulchanim. We can just pay them directly out of the Trumas Alishka or out of the Shiori Alishka. Because, it's okay to be Mechal Hektish on work according to that opinion. Okay. Amud Beis, Halacha Beis, the Mishnah says, more listings of things that come from the Truma Salishka, Parah v'Sorah Meshtaleach, the Parah Adruma, the Sorah La'Azazel, the Loshen Shal Zahodis, and the strip of red wool. We're going to discuss soon whether that means. Now there's different strips of red wool that are used. There's one of them that's used when they burn the Parah Adruma. They throw in Eitz Erez and Ezov and Shnitelas, strip of red wool. So we're talking about that one. Or we're talking about the Sor La'Azazel had a red strip of wool attached to it, tied around its head when they took it to be thrown off the cliff La'Azazel. So those things, boy, mitrumas alishka. So we're going to see in the Gemara which of those strips we're talking about. Boy, mitrumas alishka. All of those things are also brought from trumas alishka because even though those are not korbanos per se, they're all essential things for the korbanos. For example, you can't bring korbanos if you don't have a parah adruma to make the people tahor, and the parah adruma itself is called chatos, and the same thing with these other ones. Therefore, they all come from trumas alishka. On the other hand, kevesh para. On the other hand, the ramp or the causeway that on which they would take out the para adruma. Now we know from the Mishnayos and para, or we know from many different places in Shas that the Chachamim took extreme precautions when it comes to the para adruma. That there should be no tumma involved, because the parah adruma can be brought by a kohen that's tzvuyim. The tzedukim disagreed with that. So in the time of the second Beis Mikdash, they would davka make the kohen gadol who's doing the parah adruma tumme with a sheretz or something. Then they would tell him to tovel, so he's a tzvuyim. Then he would do the parah adruma. So the chachamim now are concerned. Now that you have that, people might get careless and think that there's no problem with other areas of tumah involving the parah adruma. So therefore, they made extraordinary precautions. And one of them was that they had this ramp. They had this double causeway running across from Yerushalayim to Har HaZeisim to make absolutely certain that there's no possibility of them becoming tumah on the way. The gist of it is, even in case there's a body buried in the ground underneath, they built the causeway in such a way. They had one row of arches so that if there's any tumah under the arches, it'll be inside the arch and it won't go up. Then in case it's under the piers, under the legs of one of the arches, they built another set of arches on top of that, offset from the first ones. So again, with the same basic idea. So this way, in case there was tumah under the legs of the bottom arch, then it would be under the center of the next arch up, and that way no tumah is getting up either way. So now it's an important thing, but it's not so essential. It's only because of a chumrah. So therefore, that can't come from truma salishka. Also, the kevesh sorah meshalayach, also the ramp or the causeway that they would use for the sorah lazazol. So the Mishnah tells us in Yoma, we'll learn it in a couple of months, Bez Hashem, that there would be people who would be grabbing a hold and yelling at the person who was taking the Sor La'Azazel, get it out of here as fast as possible, get rid of our Avedus as fast as possible. So in order to protect him from them, they built this causeway for him to go on. So again, that's not such an essential thing for the Avoda. The Loshen Sheben Kaunav, also the strip of wool that was between the Sor La'Azazel's horns. So now we just said before, one possibility that the strip we're talking about over here is that we said came from Truma Salishka is that one. One possibility is, in fact, there are two different strips. There's one that was tied between its horns when it was first designated in order to be able to tell it apart from the Sor La'Hashem, so we don't get them mixed up. Then there's a different one that they would have before Yom Kippur would be tied to a rock over there, and then the guy would, and then that would be a siman, it would turn white, and it would show that Jewish people's Avedus are forgiven. So there might be two different strips of wool involved with the Sur La'Azazel, but the other possibility is the first strip of wool in our Mishnah is the one that they throw into the Parah Aduma fire. And the second one we're talking about over here is the one in connection with the Sur La'Azazel. Anyway, so those things, also the Amas HaMayim, also the maintenance and the repair of the water channel in the Azara, or the Rambam says even in the whole Yerushalayim, the Chomas HaIru Megdalei Seha, and the repair of the walls of the city of Yerushalayim and the towers of it, the Chol Tzorchei HaIr, and all the other necessities of the city, all of those, Boin Mishyorei HaLishka, those come from the leftover money after what's left over after the truma was taken, or after all the three trumas were taken, is called Shiori Alishka, and they can use them for projects like that. Now, the reason why they can use them for things like the repairs of the walls of Yerushalayim and things like that is because, after all, Yerushalayim is a place where you could eat Kodesh and Kalim, and therefore, in a certain sense, that Yerushalayim should be well maintained, and that the city should be clean and not have shiratzim and so forth, is sort of a necessity of the Beis Mikdash, but not as much of a necessity as the korbanos itself. Therefore, it doesn't come from the truma salishka, only from the leftover money in the lishka. Abba Shol says, never mind, as far as the kevesh pora, that wasn't brought from public money at all. Kevesh pora koinim donim osim b'shalatzim. Abba Shol says the koinim donim themselves, before they were going to bring a pora aduma, they themselves would spend their own money to build that causeway for themselves to be able to walk across to the Haraz Esim and do it. Okay. Next, the Mishnah continues. Moisa Shiore Lishka Mahayu Isenbahin. What do they do with the leftover money in the Shiore Lishka? Meaning, let's say, for example, so they had Shiore Lishka. So they had the Trumas Alishka, which we said they used for the Korbanos and all the other operating expenses of the Beis Mikdash. Then you had Shiore Alishka, which we said you used for things like repairing the walls of Yerushalayim and paying for the cleaning crew in Yerushalayim that would clean the streets every day and so on and so forth. After that, if they have money left over with that, what do they do with that? Mahayoisin ben. So the Mishnah says, Loikshin ben Yenus Shmonim Uslosis. They would use that money to buy wine and oil and flour, and then sell them at a profit to people who need those for korbanos. Vaschar lehekdesh, and the profit would go to hekdesh. Dibri Rabbi Shmuel. That's what Rabbi Shmuel says you would do with the Moisa Shiori Lishka. Rabbi Akiva says, no, you can't do that. Ein mistakrin b'shal hekdesh. You're not allowed to earn money with hekdesh. Hekdesh is for a couple of reasons. One of them being because the price of things may go down and then hekdesh is losing out. And another reason, which the Gemara Bavli brings in Ksubas, another reason is because einanias makmashiros, we shouldn't treat the Beis Mikdash like it's a place where we need to raise, we're desperate for money. We need to raise money using whatever methods we can. For example, by selling things at a profit. No, the Beis Mikdash is Hashem's house. Hashem owns all the gold and silver in the world. Therefore, we don't need to treat the Beis Mikdash like a business and be buying things and selling them at a profit. So Rabbi Akiva says you don't use the Moshe Shiori Lishka for that. And by the way, Rabbi Akiva says the same thing. You don't do that with money of Aniyim either, to invest it and then give the profits to the Aniyim, because of the same problem, because the price of things might go down and then the Aniyim are going to lose out. Or the Gemara Deon Ksubas says a different reason, because what if an Ani shows up and needs money right on the spot, and we don't have money to give him because it's all invested? Okay. So according to Rabbi Akiva, we don't use this money of Moshe Shiori Alishka to do that, to earn profits for the Beis Mikdash. So what do you do with it? So a couple of different opinions among Rishonim. The Meiri brings that Rabbi Akiva would say you treat it exactly the same as the Shiori Alishka. So therefore you use it towards the projects like repairing the walls of Yerushalayim. And if not, then you, and if you have some left over, then you just save it for next year. According to the Rambam says that you would use it to buy kites on his Mizbeach. And the Tiferes Yisrael says that maybe according to Rabbi Akiva, you could buy wine and oil and whatever with it and resell it to people. Because Rabbi Akiva is saying you don't resell it at a profit, you resell it at the same price you got it. Okay. Next. The Mishnah continues, what did they do with the leftover of the truma? So they took out the 27 saw of coins throughout the year to pay for the korbanos and everything. What if they had money left in those baskets? What do they do with that? They would use those for golden plates to plate the walls of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Rabbi Shmuel says that Moser HaPeres, the leftover of the Peres, would go to Kayetz HaMizbeach. Now, what is Moser HaPeres? We just said that according to Rabbi Shmuel, that Hektish is allowed to take extra money that they have and invest it in wine and flour and oil and then resell it at a profit, and the profit goes to Hektish. So if you have money left over from that, then Rabbi Shmuel says you use that money, you use those profits for Kaitzim Mizbeach. Moisa Truma L'Klei Shoris. And as far as the Moisa Truma, if you have leftover money in the basket that they took the Truma Salishka with, then according to Rabbi Shmuel, you use it to buy Klei Shoris. You use it to buy Kalim for the Bais Mikdash. That's according to Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Akiva omen Moshe Truma l'kayitzim esbeach Moshe nesachim l'klei shoris. Rabbi Akiva says no. The leftover of the truma that's in the baskets goes not towards klei shoris, but towards kayitzim esbeach Moshe nesachim l'klei shoris. The other way around. If you have leftover of nesachim, and we'll talk about in the Gemara tomorrow what leftover of nesachim is, then that goes to kayitzim esbeach. That goes to klei shoris according to Rabbi Akiva. Rav Chananya, Skana Koyin, most in the Sachim Kaitzim is Beach. He says leftovers of the Sachim go to Kaitzim is Beach. Most of the Truma, the Klei Shoris, and what's left over in the baskets of the Truma goes to Klei Shoris. Zev is there, Lohi Moidim Aperis. Neither Rav Akiva nor Rav Chananya, Skana Koyin, agree with Rabbi Shmuel as far as the Paris, because according to them, you can't invest, the Hektish can't invest and then try to turn a profit from it, like Rabbi Shmuel says, so therefore, according to them, there is no such thing as Moser Paris.
The Kaitzim Mizbeach, what is it exactly?
That is korbanos that they would bring when there's no other korbanos being brought on the Mizbeach. So in order that the Mizbeach shouldn't be empty of korbanos, and in order that the Kohenim should have what to do, they would buy oilus from funds of the Tzibur and offer them on the Mizbeach. That's Kaitzim Mizbeach. The word Kaitz literally means summer fruit. It means like dessert fruit. The idea is, so to speak, like this is, so to speak, dessert for the Mizbeach after the main meal when there's nothing else to eat, then there would be this dessert available, so to speak.
Did that happen often?
We have no idea. We have no idea how often it happens.
Okay.
So the Gemara says, Kevesh part of a chula, we said that one of the things that's brought from the Truma Salishka is the red strip of wool. So the Gemara points out, Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachman, Meshem Rabbi Yonasan, or Rabbi Nosan, Gimel Lashonis, and there are three different mitzvahs for which we have to have a strip of wool. And they have different weights. Shall sorir besela, the one that was used for the sorir lazozel had to weigh a sela because it had to be divided into two. The person who was going to throw the sorir lazozel off the cliff, it says in the Mishnah and Yoma, would divide the strip of wool into two. One part would stay between the animal's horns, and the other one he would tie to a rock over there. We'll learn in the Gemara in Yoma in a couple of months why he would do that. So therefore, it needs to weigh at least a sela, so that way you have each piece, each of the two pieces, weighs at least a shekel. Because less than that, it's not really considered a strip. Shal Metzorda b'shekel, then you have, the Torah tells us, the first stage of the Tara of a Metzorda involves two birds and a strip of red wool and eight eders and ezov. So there, you need a strip that's only one shekel in size. So there's nothing particular you need to do with it other than that you need to dip it together with the rest of the mixture in the mixture of blood and water. So for that, one sela is enough. Shall parash b'shtei sloyim. On the other hand, the one for the parah aduma has to weigh two sloyim because that one has to be thrown deep into the fire. So therefore, it needs to have a certain weight to it. If it's too light, it's not going to fall into the fire effectively. Rabbi Chunya de Bras Chavron, Rabba Bar Zavda b'shem Rabbi Shimon Chalafta, they say shall parash b'shtei sloyim amechta. They say that no, the one of the parah aduma had to be even heavier than that. Had to be 2.5 sloyim. The istemapkin lishna basar zuz, or others express it that it wasn't two, that they express it as 10 zuz, which is equal to the same thing. There were 4 zuz to a stella, so 10 zuz equals 2.5 stella, but chayev adam loyim of loshin rabbis, there were other chachamim who learned it in the loshin 10 zuz, and that's how they taught it to their talmidim. Okay. We said in the Mishnah that we said Moser Shiori Lishka. Although we said that there were various other things that they would pay out of the Truma Salishka. So now we're going to have some more things. Rabbi Yehuda B'Shem Rabbi Shmuel says Tamid Chacham Lamdin Sakoinim Hilchas Shchita Hilchas Kabbalah Hilchas Zirka. The Tamid Chacham who teach the Koinim the halachas of shechting and of receiving the blood and of throwing it on the mizbeach, they have to be paid because Schar Batala. You're not allowed to charge money for teaching Torah. But they are allowed schar batola, because during that time they could have been doing other work. So they're paid for that out of the Truma Salishka. Also, Rabbi Yitzchak bar Adifa b'shem Rabbi Ibi, mevakrim mumei kodshim, people who are checking for mumim in the kodshim, noten tzchorim, trumas halishka, they would also get paid out of the trumas halishka, because again, that's something essential for the Beis HaMikdash. So the tekdish would pay them a fixed fee. That way, we don't want the individual owners of the animals to pay them, because then they might pay them more for an animal they might pay them more to say that the animal is tom, or more to say that it's a balmum. So instead, hekdish pays them a fixed fee for however many animals they're checking. Rab Tanchum Bachir B'Shem Rab Simloi Magiei Sefer HaZora, the people who correct the Sefer of the Azora, which is the Sefer Torah that was kept in the Azora, the Kohen Gadol would read from it on Yom Kippur, the king would read from it by Hakel. So you have people who would have to correct it and fix any mistakes in it. So those also Noitlin Tzchorim, the Trumas Halishka, they would also get paid from the Trumas Halishka, because that Sefer Torah is something that's needed for the avoda, and also they would correct other sifrei Torah based on it. So they'd be paid out of the shrumas alishka. Gidol bar Binyamin b'shem Rav Asi shnei dayanei gzeilus noten tzchorim b'shrumas alishka. It said in Ksubas, the Gemara brings over there in the last parak of Ksubas, that there were two dayanim of gzeilus, or gzeirus, in Yerushalayim, that their specialty was judging cases of gzeirus, of gzeirus, about what to do if one person injures or damages or whatever somebody else's property, or if somebody steals from somebody else. So they would also be paid out of the shrumas alishka. One reason given for that is because since you're not allowed to bring stolen korbanos on the mizbeach, then they're doing an essential thing for the avoda, because they're making sure that nothing stolen is brought to the azara. And Shmuel Amar Noshima Ogus Pareches Noitlin Tzchorim Metrumas Alishka. Shmuel says the women who weave the pareches are also paid out of the Trumas Alishka, because again, that's something necessary for the avoda. On the other hand, with that one, those machloikas, Rav Chuna Omer Metrumas Bedek Abayis. Rav Chuna says that no, that you pay out of the Bedek Abayis. The Bedek Abayis is the funds that go towards the repair and the maintenance of the actual Beis HaMikdash itself. So he says the Porechus comes out of that rather than out of Trumas Alishka. So the Gemara says, Ma Polig, what's the underlying Machlokas? Shmuel Ovid Laka Korban. Shmuel treats the Kalim, really. Shmuel treats the Porechus like clay shares, and we said in the Mishnah that clay shares come out of Trumas Alishka, because they can also come out of other funds, but they can come out of Trumas Alishka, because they're essential for the Korbanus. Rav Chuna, Ovid Lo Kibinyan, whereas Rav Chuna says that the Porechus are considered like part of the building of the Beis HaMikdash, because after all, they're there in place of the first Beis HaMikdash. You had a wall between the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim in the second Beis HaMikdash. Instead, they had two Porechus in, so therefore he considers they're instead of walls, and therefore they're treated like the walls of the Beis HaMikdash, and they're paid for out of Bedek HaBayis funds. The Gemara in Ksuba says over there that there might be a distinction between the Poreichas in front of the Kodesh HaKadoshim versus the other Poreichas in that they had, the different gates of the Beis HaMikdash. Had Poreichas in front of them, those might be considered like the building according to everybody. Whereas the one in front of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, which is, after all, is used in during the Avoda, the Kohen Gadol sprinkles the blood of certain Korbanos in front of it on Yom Kippur and the Psur, and then the Par Helam Davar Shel Tzibur and so forth. So therefore, Shmuel would consider it like one of the clay shares. Okay. We'll continue tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem.